are Locked On Timberwolves, your daily Minnesota Timberwolves podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network.
Hello and welcome to the Locked On Wolves podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day. My name is Ben Beacon. I'm the host of Locked On Wolves. Happy Thursday, everybody. It's a weird day today. The NBA world as we know it is entirely different than it was even 12 hours before I'm recording this, and that's not too dramatic of a statement. I'm not afraid to say that. We're going to open today's show by talking about everything that's happened since Wednesday, early evening, I guess, and where we stand now. I think it's important we spend a little bit of time talking about the state of the NBA, the postponement of the season. I'm sure if you're listening to this, I'm not breaking any news for you, but we'll break down exactly what happened and add a little bit of commentary to it and maybe just kind of speculate specifically on the season, of course, and what might happen next. That's going to be most of the show today. We are still going to continue to have daily shows. And really, I think what this is going to do is we're going to dive into NBA draft content primarily over the next few days, certainly tomorrow on Friday's show. And then we'll have some time to review what the plans are for next week. Quite frankly, my plans for today and tomorrow were derailed a little bit, which I realize is the absolute least important thing right now. So once we've sufficiently covered the current NBA situation, which again, I think is most of the day today, we'll turn our attention to draft prospects and some of the other things we can look forward to as that Timberwolves fans can look forward to over the next, I guess, few weeks and months. Of course, depending on what happens with the season, perhaps the draft gets moved too, who knows? We will definitely begin breaking that down. A quick reminder before we get into things to please subscribe to this podcast on iTunes, Stitcher, Spotify, Google, wherever you get your podcasts. Follow us on Twitter at Locked On T-Wolves. That's at Locked On T-Wolves. Don't forget the T. Okay, so the quick rundown of what happened on Wednesday night. Again, if you're listening to this, you probably are aware of it or perhaps even saw it unfold in real time. I guess I'll provide a little bit of commentary as I run through it. I actually live in Oklahoma City, which made this a little bit more interesting because the local media was sending out alerts on their apps and you know, friends were texting me and just a little bit of a different dynamic. I work very close to the arena downtown and was home when all this happened. But so that was interesting. I had a buddy text me and say that they called the game and nobody knew why. So then I kind of queued into Twitter and what was going on. Jazz Thunder was about to tip off in Oklahoma City. They did player introductions. They did everything. The players were on the court, ready to take the court. And the head medical staffer for the Oklahoma City Thunder sprinted onto the floor and talked to the referees. The referees got on the headset with the league office. They talked to both teams. Chris Paul kind of approached the Thunder or the Jazz bench and asked what was going on. They told him to go away. Both teams went back to the locker rooms, waved to fans. Everybody seemed to be okay. Nobody seemed to be, you know, alarmed. There was a roughly 35-minute delay where the Thunder entertainment team, Rumble, their mascot, tried to entertain the crowd. And apparently the halftime act was moved up. I think the halftime act actually performed before the announcement was made that there was no game and fans could leave. The PA announcer reportedly said, "We're all safe, but go home." And so there was never, you know, they didn't give any sense that there was any danger to the public at the time, but still there was no information. And so fans booed and it was, you know, confusing. There was a news report as I was, of course, sitting at home and trying to find more information. There was a report on CBS on their website that both Emmanuel Mudiay and Rudy Gobert had been questionable due to illness. Gobert earlier in the day, they'd said was out and then said he was questionable. And then the article said, of course, nobody wants to speculate about coronavirus, but there's that possibility. And then shortly after the game was called, or I guess it was maybe 15, 20 minutes after that, Shams Charania from The Athletic reported on Twitter that Rudy Gobert had tested positive for COVID-19, also known as coronavirus. And it was only 4 minutes later, 4 minutes after that announcement, the NBA released a press release postponing the season following Wednesday night's games. The plan was to finish the games that were in progress on Wednesday night and to play Kings Pelicans in Sacramento later on Wednesday and then suspend play beginning Thursday. So then there was plenty of time for reaction there. I don't know if anybody watched it play out live on NBA TV, but that was... Don't envy Jerry Greenberg for having to try and read that tweet from Shams live on the air, finding out for the first time that Gobert tested positive for COVID-19 and then having to report the NBA season suspension with Sam Mitchell and Sekou Smith sitting there. Just surreal to see all that playing out, guys whose careers and livelihoods have been directly tied to the NBA. Obviously know many of the players and coaches, but to have to report on that live with no sense that it was coming is just incredible. And something that, you know, this is unprecedented. Obviously there's been pandemics before, but for something like this in the era of Twitter and the era of live, you know, NBA crunch time and, you know, shows like that, where we're dissecting games and discussing games that are happening in real time, it's just incredible to consider all the different layers of this. Shortly later, it was reported that some of the players in the Kings-Pelicans game, prior to that game starting, somebody realized that Haywood Workman, one of the officials, had officiated the game against the Jazz, or the Jazz game, on Monday, only 48 hours earlier. And a few of the players were worried about playing in a game that Workman had just, with Workman present, who had just recently come into contact with the Jazz and with Rudy Gobert. Although Rudy Gobert didn't even play in the game that Workman officiated, but apparently that was what made players begin to get nervous. And so the NBA reversed course very shortly before that game was supposed to tip off, or right around tip off. The league decided to postpone Kings Pelicans as well. It did seem kind of silly, if the league was acknowledging there was an issue and they didn't want people congregating, to still play a game that night. But obviously they had the other games already going on, and so they were kind of stuck between a rock and a hard place there, and probably figured there's already people in arena, doors have already opened, let's just play the game. But if the players show any concern at all, which clearly they did, the league did the right thing to decide to not play. You can't really force them to play in those circumstances when there's a legitimate health concern. Elsewhere in the league. The other thing that's interesting about this is Shams reported in his initial tweet that Rudy Gobert felt fine and had wanted to play. It was reported later by, I think it was Royce Young of ESPN, that Gobert felt progressively better during the day. In the morning, they tested him for the flu this was from the Jazz official statement that was released later in the evening, probably about roughly 10 o'clock central. The Jazz said that Gobert was tested for upper respiratory infection, the flu, and something else. I forget what the third thing was. Early in the day, they were all negative. He had low-grade fever, etc. Was feeling better during the day and was actually upgraded from out to questionable, because if he had tested negative for the virus, he was going to try and play in the game against the Thunder. It was obviously an important game. Two teams that sit, I think, fourth and fifth, respectively, in the Western Conference standings. And Gobert was going to play because he was feeling better, but he did test positive for the virus, which, I'm not a medical expert, and I'm not going to be one of the guys that says that he's not and then tries to figure this out. But who knows where in the cycle of this virus Gobert is and how long it's been in his system. And we've also seen this across the country with the virus. It impacts people very differently, and Gobert is clearly in the target range of people that are not supposed to be as affected by the virus, and obviously in peak physical condition as well. So who knows how much those different factors play into it. It doesn't make this any less scary. In fact, in some ways, it makes it a little bit more concerning, just because, there are so many people that get few symptoms, and people like Gobert were feeling well enough to play in an NBA basketball game. Who knows if people don't realize they're sick, things could theoretically, deteriorate a little bit there. So that just goes to show that the NBA is doing the right thing by completely suspending the season. I'm not sure anybody would argue that at this point, but still interesting to note nonetheless. All right, we're going to talk about, I guess, the rest of the evening, the quarantining of players, et cetera, and what's going to be up next for the league here coming up next. Okay, continuing to break down the postponement of the NBA season, the Utah Jazz players were quarantined at the arena in Oklahoma City, and staff from both teams were doing their best to keep players separate from each other. Thunder players were actually told to go home. They were at home in Oklahoma City. The players were sent home. Apparently, Gobert was never at the arena. No idea how much contact there was before the diagnosis was announced between the Thunder and Jazz, but evidently Thunder players were told to go home, and I would imagine self-quarantine, although they never actually played the game against the Jazz. I'm not positive about that part. But the Jazz players were told to stay in the locker room at the arena. And I saw a report right before jumping on to record this podcast that the Jazz were at the arena for 6 hours quarantined after the announcement, which would have put that roughly at 1 a.m. local time. before they were sent on two buses back to their hotel and told to quarantine there and wait for the test results. So as of this recording, we don't know the results of those tests. They were told 4 to 6 hours from being tested. So I would say now, as I'm recording this podcast, is somewhere in that window. So I'm sure by the time you're listening to this, we may have a better sense for whether or not any other players were infected with this virus prior to the Jazz knowing that Gobert has it. So that's where the Jazz players are now. There's been a bit more reporting that's come out early on Thursday morning, late Wednesday night, from Brian Windhorst and Tim Bontemps at ESPN, talking about what's next and how, you know, how it's so hard to get tests and how is the league getting tests. They had an interesting note. This is reading directly from the article by Windhorst and Bontemps at ESPN that was posted really the middle of the night, 12:16 a.m. on early Thursday morning. They said, quote, over the past week, the league office advised teams to work with health providers to make testing available to its players and visiting teams. Last week in the Golden State Warriors, Steph Curry was tested for COVID-19 after he came down with flu-like symptoms in San Francisco and the test came back negative. End quote. So obviously the virus was and still is a really kind of an outbreak locally in the San Francisco, the Bay Area. The Warriors had already prepared to play the game on Thursday night, their game on Thursday night with no fans. Obviously that's not happening now. But interesting to note that Curry was already tested, and I guess the idea here is saying that the league got ahead of testing before there was a higher demand from the general public, which I guess makes sense. And as the league was trying to make some decisions, you know, about whether or not they were going to play, it was important to make sure that no players had the virus. And at the time that was true. And now we'll see how many tests are available. We know that that's kind of an issue nationwide. I don't want to get too into that, but that is, there's that. In terms of the, what happens next? NBA teams don't know. Nobody really knows. Mark Cuban did some interviews. He was caught on camera by ESPN reacting what appeared to be reacting live to the report from Shams or Adrian Wojnarowski at ESPN on his phone courtside at the Mavericks game. He was interviewed live on air there. He was interviewed later in the night on SportsCenter and probably NBA TV. I'm not sure. And he said the league told teams they could continue to practice. I don't know if that was after the Gobert diagnosis. I would think that certainly any team that contacted the Jazz in the last 10 days probably is going to want their players to self-quarantine anyways. And then other teams, I mean, who knows? At this stage, you know, we're not, our country here in the United States, we're not in the same stage as Italy where basically everything's been shut down. So you'd think teams would be able to practice as long as they're not one of the handful of teams that recently contacted the Jazz. There's also the officials, you know, from all those games, it looks like there's at least 12 officials who have worked Jazz games over the past, you know, week to 10 days. And some of these teams, the Raptors, Pistons, Celtics, Knicks, Cavs, many of those players who contacted the Jazz are looking for tests at this point. So in terms of how long this postponement lasts, it would seem that it's a bare minimum of 2 weeks, as that's the recommended quarantine time frame for anybody. The CDC had been reporting for anybody who traveled back from countries or had been in contact with or near people who were known to have tested positive for COVID-19 to self-quarantine for 14 days. That's been kind of the CDC put that out there. So it would be logical to expect there's no games for 2 weeks. I do want to talk about the nuance between postponed and canceled. I think most people understand it, but I saw some tweets out there that people weren't, I don't know that they quite understood the nuance there. Postponed is just like when a baseball game is postponed. And even if there's not any official intention to replay it or to play it later, it's almost always like 97% of the time reported as postponed because there is the thought, hey, we can make this game up later, even if it's not going to be that same night. The NBA season being suspended and postponed means that there is intention to play some of these games. It's not canceled. We don't know what's going to happen, though, and I don't think the league does either, but I think it's important to note that. Interestingly, if you look at the Timberwolves' schedule, at least on ESPN's website, I was going to pull it up here, but I believe it showed no games through the rest of March. It just showed them all as postponed. And I don't know if that was just an arbitrary, like, let's just do the rest of the month type of a thing, but it shows their next 8 games listed as postponed through March 26th, actually, so not fully through the end of the month. And that's exactly 2 weeks. Today is, Thursday the 12th? And it shows 2 weeks postponed through March 26th. The league has not officially said it's a 2-week suspension or postponement. However, they're listing all games for the next 2 weeks on ESPN as postponed. So that appears to be where we're at. There's a number of other scenarios that could come out of this. The Chinese Basketball Association suspended their play in late January. They're getting ready to play here in the next couple of weeks. It's likely going to be close to a 10-week layoff for the CBA. No idea if that happens here or not. That would seem to be a very lengthy suspension for this. However, obviously the virus ended up being worse in China, or was worse, but China's government also handled things differently than the government here in the United States. We don't know yet what this is going to be. We're probably still on the front end of everything. I'd be surprised if it was 10 weeks. I think if it's that long, the NBA would look at going straight into the playoffs and skipping the rest of the regular season. The other possibility is that the league just simply abbreviates the regular season. I don't know how they decide which games are played and which games aren't, and how to make that as fair as possible because of the way that schedules are made. There's some teams that maybe won't even play another team in the league this season, or, there'd be priority, you would think, for interdivision and interconference matchups. Some teams are going to have easier schedules the rest of the way versus tougher schedules. And so there's going to be some things to parse there. I think the easiest thing would be, if things can get under control pretty quickly here, is to just call the rest of the season off and then start the playoffs as scheduled, roughly April, I think it's like April 19th or 20th, and just roll right into the playoffs. It's certainly not fair to the teams that are just outside the playoff picture, but I think all things are on the table at this point, and there's a lot of logistics to consider. And this is now getting into the actual logistics of everything, arena availability moving forward. Obviously, so many all NBA arenas have other events going on. Some are sharing with NHL teams, which also could have some of these same issues. Obviously, concerts, different things like that to consider. So TBD on what that exactly looks like. All right, I'm going to put a bow on this as much as we can. Obviously, that's maybe not the right term here because we're still very much in the middle of trying to figure out what's going on. But we'll finish up talking about this and then peek ahead at some of the content that I had planned to kind of spread out over the next few weeks. But looks like we might just get into it next week related to the draft. Okay, some final thoughts on the NBA postponement of the season and the COVID-19 pandemic. It is officially now a pandemic according to the World Health Organization, and maybe I should have opened the episode with this, but I think it's important to note, I've been listening to a number of podcasts over the past couple of days, and everyone's kind of treating this as, sports is one of the most least important things as part of this, and I don't want to trivialize this, and et cetera, about, not wanting to get to, here's the impact on sports. But I also think it's really important to consider, think of all the people whose livelihoods are directly connected to sports in one way or another. It isn't just sports. For the majority of the country, it is entertainment, but there are literally tens of thousands of jobs that are directly impacted, not just tangentially impacted by no sports. I mean, all the people that work at the arenas, there's some people who rely on that part-time income as part of a larger, a piece of pie or a piece of the puzzle in their income. And it's a big deal. Potentially it affects all the full-time employees who rely on the revenue that comes into each of these arenas, depending on how long that, the season is suspended or postponed. And that's not just the NBA, it's the NHL, it's the NCAA, it's all the stuff going on there, conference tournaments in the NCAA. There's a lot of actual jobs that are impacted, which is real life. It's not just money in the owner's pocket. It's not just entertainment. And if this expands to other sports, baseball starts here in a few weeks. There's that to consider. So I don't think it's trivial to talk about the impacts on a variety of industries. And then I mentioned industries that are tangentially related. Consider hotels. Obviously, airlines have been talked about quite a bit. Other travel industries, restaurants, things like that are going to be impacted by no NBA games and no games in other sports as well. So I don't think it's too trivial to talk about. And I think it's important to consider. That said, I think at this stage, everything's being done correctly by the league. I think that the government has come to grips with the seriousness of everything. And I think that at this stage, things things are there's some optimism that things are going to get figured out and they're going to get back to playing basketball here in a few weeks, which at this point I think for everybody sounds nice. And I know it's not even been gone 24 hours, but it'll be great once we get to that point. So definitely looking ahead with some positivity. The next for sure week plus here at Locked On Wolves, we're going to be talking quite a bit about the draft for however long this postponement lasts. That's going to be our primary focus outside of updating on any news that there is, of course, and providing commentary on that. But the Wolves are tied in a virtual tie for second place for the league's worst teams. Golden State has only 15 wins. Cleveland and Minnesota both have 19, and Atlanta has 20, but they've played three more games than the Wolves. It looks like there's going to be essentially and actually Detroit's right in there too, and New York's only a game back. So there's still six teams that are kind of vying for that, for those top three slots in the lottery. And the Wolves are in the thick of that race. The Wolves, I think, have maybe a little bit more upside than some of those teams, because if Towns comes back, they'll have two legit all-star caliber players on the court and might play themselves out of those top three slots. Also, remember the Wolves are slated to have a lottery pick or a Brooklyn Nets pick as well, or I should say a non-lottery pick in the first round too, depending on how things shake out. So don't forget that's also a thing that's on the table, that the Wolves could have multiple picks in this draft. Well, it's not as deep of a draft as maybe recent years, or even really the 2021 draft that everybody's looking ahead to already. There's still plenty of things to break down, and with the Wolves slated to have such a high pick, there's obviously a lot to consider. So we'll break down prospects. We played the other day the episode from Doug Branson over at Locked On Hornets, and then also he had on Adam Stanko from Rejecting the Screen as well. So we played that segment for you. There's some other clips that we'll play related to some players specifically moving forward, and we'll dive into some profiles of players as well. At this stage, it looks like the NCAA is planning to play March Madness games with no crowds, although that might be tenuous at this point now that the NBA is completely suspending operation, and it's understandably hard to justify having amateurs play when pros aren't playing. But at this point, as of this recording, the NCAA is planning to play with no fans. And if that happens, we'll have more to break down. We can look at the actual March Madness games, some of the prospects that will be taking the floor. And that'll be our focus over the next few days. We're not strictly going to be talking coronavirus and where the league stands there. That said, we're not going to completely ignore it either, as we obviously haven't today, and we'll kind of keep our thumb on the pulse of the situation and discuss what's going on, NBA wise with the postponement of the season and with the hopefully the shutting down of the coronavirus pandemic as well. All right, that's all we have for you today here at Locked On Wolves. Thanks once again for listening to the Locked On Wolves podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network. Remember, the Locked On Network is your local experts on the biggest stories. Subscribe to the podcast on iTunes, Stitcher, Spotify, Google, wherever you get your podcasts. Follow us on Twitter at LockedOnTWolves. That's at LockedOnTWolves. Don't forget the T. That wraps up this edition of Locked On Wolves. Now tell your smart device to play the most recent episode of Rejecting the Screen. Once again, I'm Ben Beacon. This is the Locked On Wolves podcast, and we'll catch you next time.